That would be, it would honestly be the greatest moment of my life if he had to wear, he had to use iron covers at a pro-am. And we had to go back because we forgot a cover by the green. You know, like, you know, some people forget a club.
Yeah.
This guy forgot his pitching wedge iron cover.
Here's what I'll do, Hayes. Here's what I'll do for you, okay? And you have to get them made, though. You have to get the iron covers. If the Leafs lose tomorrow, I'll wear iron covers at the Canadian Open Pro-Am.
So you're willing... Wait a minute. This is a quick shift.
Forget it. And that's what I'm willing to do. You know how much I don't support iron covers, and I'm confident the Leafs are going to get the job done. If they don't, I'm iron cover guy at the Canadian Open with Rory McIlroy.
Wow. So really what you're doing is...
You're putting it out there.
You're putting the pressure on the Leafs. Like, not that they didn't have enough pressure. This is pressure. The O-Dog's whole reputation is on the line. Iron covers and everything he has to say about it.
Just think
could
of this.
Showing
just,
up
just think
at the
of
Canadian
this,
Open.
Just think of this scene. Al's brother as my caddy with a tank top on, carrying my bag with covers.
They might just decline. Like the pro might just go, okay, get the hell out of here. Like, what's
my
going
concern
on here?
With this is how inspiring that is for Tampa. You know, like if the Lightning catch word of this, and John Cooper might, you and he are boys, that's bulletin board material. This guy is so convinced that the Leafs are going to beat you tonight, he's willing to use iron covers at a pro-am, possibly in front of Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, is going to be up there. The number one player in the world could be playing with you, watching you take iron covers off your clubs. That's what's at stake tomorrow night for the Leafs.
I'm doing it. That's how much it means to me.
Let's go.
You would bail out of that bet. I know you. Somehow you'd be like, I didn't say that. I didn't, like, if something goes south.
I'll do it. I'll wear iron covers.
Okay. Like, what kind of iron covers? Like,
the ugliest ones?
Overdrive ones? Or
ugliest ones.
Are there ones that, like, people have knitted and stuff, like
there's
homemade ones?
There's a lot
ones?
Of people writing in supporting an iron cover. A lot of people.
No,
so,
there
yeah.
isn't.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there isn't. Maybe it's for travel. James.
Ask Johnny. He knows.
Doesn't matter. Let's move on here. We've established a bet for tomorrow. If the Leafs win, it's all good. If they lose, iron covers at the Canadian Open for the O-Dog. joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's up, Johnny?
Dude, that is a tough bet for, I'm sorry, iron covers are ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Johnny, we were just talking about how embarrassing it would be at the Canadian Open Pro-Am if you're with Rory McIlroy and you grab the wrong club and you said, Rory, can you grab my 5-iron? And he had to peel a cover off it. I would pass out on the tee.
You got the neoprene wrapper. 5-iron on there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You're either a 40 handicap, 70-year-old, or you're a 12-year-old. You just got the set out of Canadian Tire,
right.
But you are not a golfer that plays with professional courses and professional golfers. Oh, my goodness.
I'm That's doing a, it, Johnny. I made tough. The bet. I want the Leafs to
tough.
Win. I believe they're going to win. And if they lose, I have to go to the Canadian Open Pro-Am with Al's brother carrying my bag with iron covers.
Oh, Al's brother is caddying as well?
I'm not going to the course without him as my caddy.
Apparently
I hope it's 1,000 degrees, and it's just wedding.
Can you imagine him in a Masters jumpsuit? It's 35 degrees out, and Al's brother is out there.
Zipper, three-quarter undone, just letting it breathe.
It would be outstanding.
We would have to go into a back alley and get one of those one of those bins that they light fires in, and put our underpants in there after the round of golf.
Yeah,
and the hobos.
That's right. You'd need some like sorcery to get those things to disappear.
Oh my goodness.
Listen, that's where we're at. We have game 7 tomorrow night. The Leafs, you know, it was a great game. It was a thoroughly entertaining game, and I thought they were all over them in overtime. The comparisons to game 6 against Montreal have come up a lot. I'm sure you've heard that. Maybe you experienced that yourself, Johnny. But why would this be different tomorrow night? You know, like the rest of the hockey world saying, here it goes again with the Leafs. They're 0-8 in the last 6 years with an opportunity to close. 0-9 if you include the Game 7 Leafs-Bruins in 2013. Why will it be different for the Leafs tomorrow? What happens that will make it different? They finally prevail and win tomorrow.
Well, people want to hear this, but well, first off, because the odds suggest they should be different. You know what I mean? Like at some point, like I saw in the last three times they've gone to overtime with a chance to advance, they've outshot the teams, whatever it is, 24-8, but they've lost all three games. Like at some point, if you play better, you get rewarded with winning. And the Leafs were playing better in overtime, and they did not get rewarded. So, I mean, I think, you know, you put yourself in that position enough times, you play well, you'll get rewarded. I think they're at home, which matters. It has mattered in this series. They have been at home before for some of these things, but not always. I think in this series specifically, being at home helps the matchups the Leafs are looking for, so that'll be something. And their goaltender so far has been as good as the other goalie. Now, Vasilevskiy was pretty good in the overtime to make sure that Tampa had a chance to win the game late in the first overtime, but their goaltender has been solid, and they got the best players in the series. Matthews and Marner are the best players, and then Nylander and Tavares are playing well right now. So there's a lot of things to like about where they're at. It gives no guarantee. They're playing a two-time champ. It's a Game 7. It's obviously a very tight series, but there is reason to believe you have as good a chance to win as not heading into tomorrow night.
Johnny, that's where I was going to go. So you're feeling good. You're feeling confident. You've got your, you know, we'll call it the top four playing well. Your game planning, what is, you're looking at Tampa and saying, okay, they got the pedigree. I mean, is there anybody on that lineup that you're circling going, okay, hey, if we shut this guy down, that kind of paralyzes their whole group? Is it because to me, Kucherov is a perimeter player until he wants to get involved. He's a guy that kind of really gets lost in the play, and then all of a sudden he shows up. So I don't know if it's that guy. Is it Point? Is it Stamkos? Or is it Hedman? Or you just got to get to the goalie? Like, who would you circle on the whiteboard and say, you know, that's one guy you have to really shut down because he's their engine?
Well, I got a big whiteboard, so I'm going to say two things. One is Hedman. I mean, I think Hedman, in these moments, he's going to play a ton. He can come through offensively. He can impact you defensively. So you have to be aware of when he's out there. Obviously, he's going to make good plays. He's going to make it difficult for you to try to create offense. But, you know, not let him beat you back up the ice. Make sure you're aware when he's out there at the point. You know, like, he's a guy who can really do a lot because he's out there a lot. And the other thing is, I'd say, is you can't play the game not to take penalties, but you got to try not to take penalties because you mentioned Kucherov and Stamkos and those guys. You give them power play time and looks and touches and shots, and bad things are going to happen. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk today about the officiating, and there's some stuff that was missed and stuff that was called that shouldn't be called and all that. Fine, but no point in dwelling on that now if you're the Leafs. But whatever it is, you got to be mindful of being as disciplined as you possibly can with your grabbing, with your sticks, with your body positioning, so you're not chasing the play to have to hook someone. Give yourself a chance to not be shorthanded.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, John Tavares has come alive offensively the last two games, and that was what Sheldon Keefe predicted after the Game 4 debacle, that it was just a matter of time. John will have his time. And he showed up, and in the end, like you said, it's gone back and forth. So it was positive for one game in Game 5. It turned out to be somewhat irrelevant in Game 6 because they lost the game and you have to move on. But he's come alive. Nylander's had a lot of hop. Where do they factor in tomorrow night in terms of, we know what Matthews has to bring, Marner has to bring, Campbell has to bring. But Tavares and Nylander, if they have sparked something, you know, how big of a game-changing moment might they supply tomorrow night?
Well, it's Game 7. Everything is going to be big. But you're looking for where can the Leafs think they have an advantage. And having a second wave of offense from Tavares and Nylander that is somewhat consistent or somewhat expected. Now, you're not sure if they're going to score. But, you know, they have the fact that you can trust on them to be a threat, That could be an area of advantage for 5-on-5 play. And it seems like they've found some rhythm, maybe in the garbage time of, what was it, Game 4 when they scored, when Willie got those two goals, and it didn't seem like it mattered, but maybe it mattered just for confidence and for feeling good. Because if everything else is going to be a push, if the big guys are going to saw each other off and Campbell and Vasilevskiy are both going to be excellent and the special teams will be about the same, like, who decides it? It's someone deeper down the lineup, and Right now, Tavares and Nylander offer probably a more consistent offensive push the last few games than what Tampa has at 5-on-5. And I imagine it's not about effort or care, because everyone cares. God, it's game seven. They're all going to do everything in their power to do it. But, you know, I think they both would really enjoy contributing to a Leaf win in a big way, because they've been a big part of the story here of success and failure the last several years. And people point to them this year for not being as good as Marner and Matthews, and they haven't been. So they have the opportunity to kind of rewrite their year with almost with just one night, one incredible night, one above average night, and that could be the difference Toronto needs.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, even looking back on the last six games, if the Leafs win tomorrow night, I think Leaf fans will look back and talk about games 1, 3, and 5, and 7, mm-hmm. right? Like, the wins will be the focal point. Like, how great it was when they came out flying in game one, and, you know, the comeback in game five, and obviously whatever plays out tomorrow, whatever the big story is, if it ends in a win, that will be the biggest win of them all, and the number one memory looking back on it. But if they lose tomorrow, it'll be games 2, 4, and 6 that will come up in game 7. In other words, it'll be a failure. So how did they fail along the way, and what went wrong? And that's the beauty of a game 7, is, you know, you can tip the scales whichever way you want in terms of the memories, in terms of the narrative, in terms of the discussion. And the Leafs have been in this spot so many times. Now, Tampa has as well, and they've had nothing but success. But they should be somewhat familiar with the buildup, right? Like, day of tomorrow shouldn't be an issue for the Leafs.
No, that's a good point, because they've, even though they haven't had success, they've been through it. They know what their body feels like. They know what their sleep and their nap, and they, you know, you think it would become more regulated and less, you know, unusual to go through what they're about to go through again, even though they haven't got the results. And you talked about change the narrative, change the story, and in some ways, and I don't know even know if this is right, but it may change the future of the players and the team and what is considered the core of the team. You know, if they win tomorrow, it's all great. They conquered their demons. They beat the defending champs, and they're moving forward, and who knows what happens next. If they lose again, it's another story year of two games. They couldn't get it done. Can this team get it done? And I don't know if that's fair this year, because they played really quite well. They played well in Game 6. They didn't kind of roll over. We'll see how they do in Game 7, because that's maybe the fear. Because we can remember, like, even against Montreal last year, Game 6 they played well. It was a bad turnover in the overtime. It came back and haunted them. But it was Game 7 where they were surprisingly poor. Wow. So I think it's important that they play well. If they play well and don't get the results, I mean, it's hard to be overly critical, but it might happen anyways because it's happened so many times. There's a lot on the line for everyone involved. You see Dubas and Shanahan reacting when they lost the overtime game. Like, they want it as bad as anybody.
Yeah, that was raw.
Because that was raw emotion. Like, they can't play it cool anymore because they are teetering, caring so much. They want for the group to be so successful. So that's kind of where they are emotionally heading into tomorrow, and it's going to be important to kind of just focus on the game and what your challenge is in front of you and not worry about all that noise that could happen, good or bad, depending on the results.
How much is the marketplace a factor, Johnny, in a pressure situation? Like the Edmonton Oilers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the pressure with all the focus on it, and you got Carolina going into a game 7, like, how much different would it be playing in that as opposed to one of these markets, just to kind of add to the buildup and the stress that goes into it?
I mean, I think tomorrow would probably feel the same, whether you're playing for the Hurricanes or the Leafs. Like, you know what's on the line. The pressure is all self-imposed because you want it more than the fans or anybody else who thinks they care about the team. You play, you care more than anyone. Don't kid yourself, fans. Like, the team loves having you around, but it doesn't bother you more than it bothers the players if they don't win. You don't get more excited than the players if they happen to have success. So I think what it is, though, is more that you'll hear about it so much more, good or bad, in Toronto after the fact. And next year becomes way harder for the Leafs if they lose than Carolina if they lose. But as far as heading into the game, I think it would feel pretty similar regardless, because you're just caring about you and your team. You don't really care about the market at that point.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So we could have 3 handshakes tonight. You know, yesterday we were talking about that there could have been 4. Noodles correctly predicted there would only be 1. last night, and there only was. So we got three game sevens tomorrow. And I like that the NHL is staggering it. You had to, right? Carolina-Boston will go, I think, at 4 or 4:30. And then the Leaf game will be at 7. The Oilers game will be at 10. But it carries over to tonight. And one of those games is Pittsburgh-New York. And Sidney Crosby is out. And Emily Kaplan of ESPN reporting that it is a concussion. And when you hear concussion and Crosby, it makes you panic, man, based on his history. I'd have to believe they're panicking in Pittsburgh. And if he's out tonight, I can't imagine he would play a game seven. How does this possibly change the landscape of that series?
Well, it changes everything. I will say this, though, right? He skated this morning. So I don't know, you know, we don't know with concussions. Skating doesn't mean you're playing anytime soon. But the fact that he felt good enough to even be back on the ice, that's different than years past where, you know, he's been months without going back on the ice because he was dealing with symptoms. So whatever's going on with him, he feels good enough to be back on the ice by himself with the strength coach this morning, which is a good sign for him. As far as the series goes, I mean, he was the best player in the series. And his linemate, Jake Gensel, I think has 7 or 8 goals in the series. They were the dominant force. The Rangers had no answer for that line at 5-on-5. Take him out. The Penguins collapsed last game without him there. Malkin is not Crosby. They play differently. They're just not the same guy anymore. Malkin's chemistry with Gensel and Rust is not the same. And the Rangers are probably latching onto a sense of hope. Like, you know what? All we got to do is win one here in Pittsburgh. We're going up against the Ming. Like, do we solve the Ming last game? We don't have Crosby. We have a chance here to go back to MSG for game seven. It could be sadly the turning point of the series, in a series that Pittsburgh looked destined to win last game comfortably. And now if they don't win tonight, you probably would like the Rangers in game seven.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's the scary part is they were sitting pretty. And then all of a sudden, you know, DeSmith goes out. Louis Domingue was all right, played well. And now all of a sudden, Louis Domingue is looking like Louis, right? And unfortunately, you know, and then you lose Crosby. It's a battle.
Wouldn't it be incredible if Shesterkin just stands on his head the next two games, considering he gave up 10 over the course of two and got pulled twice?
Isn't he due for a robbery 52 shot? 2 goals against, 3-2 kind of win. Like he did that often during the regular season, and he hasn't done it. He's not been bad. The team in front of him hasn't been great when he gave up all those goals, but he's capable of those games of brilliance where no matter what you do, if you're Pittsburgh, you just aren't going to win the game because it's him. Yeah, could you imagine if he did that tonight, even just to set the stage back at Madison Square Garden for Game 7, that would be something.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure would be. Yep, and anyway, we'll get you out of here, I guess, on a handshake prediction. We got three of them possibly tonight with the Rangers pit, and you've got Washington against Florida and Calgary at home against Dallas. How many handshakes do we see tonight?
Okay, so I said 3. I was way over the top last game, so I'm going to say Calgary's going to win it tonight.
Yep.
Florida's going to win it tonight. And the Rangers will survive.
Yeah. So
2 handshakes and a game 7 at MSG.
Yeah.
I've got 2
I'm
as
going
well.
3, Pat.
Wow, all 3.
Wow.
Wrap Pittsburgh.
It up.
Pittsburgh, you know what we should factor in, MJ, is how good of a coach Sullivan is. Like he is a master, and you know, he's not going to allow that room to sag without Sidney. Now they're getting
no
chance. Their team is so much lesser, but maybe Gino has a night. You know, maybe it's like, hey, you know what? We need you for one night here, and he puts a clinic on. But that's Sullivan is that good of a coach, but I'm still saying 2.
Yeah, it feels like 2, although maybe are we shortchanging Washington and Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'm with you. It feels like Calgary closes tonight, but those have been close games. You know, like
Calgary's the better team.
They are better.
They've been the better team. And even in Dallas, they've been the better team. So, yeah, like, they've been close because Dallas has played well and Ottinger's been really good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I got to go with the better team. It's like they're due for a 4-1 win, just kind of comfortably controlled because they're the better team.
Yeah, I think that might be the case as well tonight. We'll see. We'll find out. Thank you, Johnny.
We'll see.
And enjoy all the Game 7s this weekend, buddy. We'll break it down early next week.
I don't even know what to cheer for because, I might be in the gallery if you bring out head covers.
I know.
Like iron covers. I'll be chirping you in the gallery for those garbage iron covers if you have to use
them. Dude, there's
so
a guy on tour. Somebody just sent me a pic, a guy on tour, Aaron Rye. He wears two gloves and tailor-made iron covers.
Listen. What tour?
Exactly.
It's PGA.
The PGA tour?
He's really good. Good. Leaderboard, man. He's been up there in the leaderboard a lot.
Like really?
He's shooting the lights out this weekend down at the Byron.
He goes iron cover, double two, Tommy Two Glove.
Tommy Two Glove Gainey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Different look, man, but he's got a system working for him.
Kind of love this guy. He might be my new favorite golfer.
That could be at two gloves.
I can't wait to say to Dustin Johnson, can you grab me a 7-iron, please?
Yeah.
Rip the head cover
off. Let's hope it doesn't happen. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. All right, Johnny. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Happy weekend.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com.